Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, the last day of November, November 30th, I'm glad I'm not up in Bangor, Maine, where it's got 10 inches of snow this morning, I see. Sarge tells us that. And glad I'm not down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, because there ain't no Gatlinburg, Tennessee anymore. I'm glad I'm sitting right here in Columbus, Ohio, where at least all it's doing today is raining a little bit on us. My wife and I went for a walk yesterday afternoon. The weather was miraculous for November. So December's going to come flipping over the corner on us tomorrow. And I don't like to talk about weather, but I always say this, December, January, February, those, when I was teaching school, those, you know, it gets dark at what, 5:15? I mean, those are the worst months. Ain't nothing good about December, January, February. In fact, I said, listen, the Lord or whoever named those things even gave them long syllables. December, January, February. March, April, May. Those are the ones I like. March, April, May. I like those quick ones. So I always say when it hits December, we're into 3 months of the doldrums and then March, April, May. So spring is coming, boys. Spring is coming. Thanks for joining us, man. It's been a crazy 24 hours around here as it usually is. For those of you who didn't get a chance to see the video with Russ Dizdar yesterday, I'm not going to go back and replay all that. You need to go. If you want to grow. I'm just going to make this as simple as I can. If you just want to be, dare I say it, if you want to be on spiritual welfare and just gobble every day, that's okay. Sit in your pew and just gobble. Or at some point, do you want to take knowledge in order to be able to use it? See, I want somebody to teach me how to field dress a deer. Not so that I can say that I understand field dressing a deer. I want to be able to go shoot a deer and then be able to field dress. I want to be able to apply what I've learned. By the way, all of my brothers know how to field dress deer. I don't know how to do that. I like to do that. I think it'd be a good idea for somebody to teach me again. My dad taught me a long time ago, but you think I'm crazy. You already do. I don't like killing things. I mean, some things I like killing, but I just go out and shoot a deer. It's just hard for me to do. I couldn't even kill a cow. I said to my brother, go shoot deer, go shoot cow. They're all kinds of cow. They're the same thing out there. Catching fish, shooting rabbits. I used to do all that stuff. I don't know how to do it anymore. I want somebody to teach me how to fillet a fish, how to clean a fish. I think at some point we're probably going to need to have to do that kind of stuff again, aren't we? So the point I'm making is we're giving you some information on demons and demonology and what's going on. It's not for you to just sit and say you know about it. It's warfare weaponry that we're trying to put in your hands. And I learned a lot from Russ yesterday, and I did one of the best interviews ever yesterday. Can I tell you why? I've been in the presence of Russ Dizdar, and he will go down bunny trails that are so fascinating that you can't even believe. And then what happens is you didn't get, you know, demonology 101. So I thought I did a really good job yesterday keeping him on 101, and then he will build upon that. And Larry made a really, really good point. Now listen, folks, I don't know what to do about this, because Larry said, Coach, we have to be careful that we are introducing stuff to people. In other words, we're giving middle school homework to kids to Christians who are in kindergarten. That's a good illustration. And so I can't worry about that. I just can't worry about that. We're going to give you the truth, and it's up to you to figure out what you're going to do with that truth and how you're going to apply it. And so I'm not going to hold the reins back. I'm going to tell you the way I see it, because I always told our football teams when we were really good, had 100 on our team 1 year. Amazing, isn't it? 11 play. That means that any given time, there are 89 parents pissed at you. You think that's fun? But only 11 play. And be honest with you, I spent most of my time with those 11. Because that, I mean, I'm glad the whole team knew how to play football. But the ones that were going to play were the 17 or 18 we put on the field. Spent most of my time with them. Make sense? So I'm going to take you guys to where I'm going to try to take you to the truth. And it's up to you to decide how much of it you want to swallow and how much of it you don't. And then another video, we did one with Larry Nichols yesterday. And I thought it was very, very informative about what the Clintons are really going to try to do and what's going on with the vote counting. And I'm not going to replay that, but it's available for you to go watch that thing. And I think that we can say a lot about Larry and some of the crazy things that he said, like people say about me. But, man, he seems to have been spot on with a lot of different stuff. So just something for us to be aware of. Just kind of, guys, if we can, let's just start off here a little bit of what do they call that, Sarge, when they bring a debriefing. A little bit of a debriefing from yesterday. Any guys got anything, Sheriff? The Lord spoke to you yesterday, or anything about yesterday's show with Russ Dizdar? Tim's trying to get in it, but Tim, you're not working. Is he unmuted, Jared? I saw his lips move, but I didn't hear him.
He is. It should work. It's something with his microphone.
It's something with your microphone, Tim. I don't know what it is. Mess around with it a little bit. Anybody else here?
Yeah, I would say that some of the things that he brought up, one of the things that is glaringly apparent is our law enforcement communities, except with the ones that he has worked with personally, are still probably relatively clueless on how to deal with when they find either crime scenes or satanic ritual scenes. And at some point in time, it may behoove you in your own local law enforcement communities to stop in, say hello, and ask them what, you know, how they look at things in that light, just because they're not trained.
Well, hey, let me tell you something, Sarge. Our pastors aren't trained, right? Our pastors aren't trained. It's like Mario Morello did a great video yesterday, and he said the same thing we've been saying. Why do we expect Donald Trump to do what the pastors won't do? Why do we expect Trump to go in and end abortion and overturn gay marriage, do all that stuff that the church won't do? And Trump is a foot in the door for the church to be able to rise up and be the church. So what we learned yesterday is another foot in the door for us to try to expose people to it. If it's nothing more than sharing videos or sharing Russ's website or sharing those things, hey, guys, listen, if they defriend you, they defriend you. There's somebody out there that's going to bite. I wish Tim could get his microphone to work, because he just came across to us just by all of a sudden he got a video. There it was. And he's hooked. So there's a lot of folks that are out there like that. I agree with you. I agree with you, Sarge. That's a good point. They don't know. And we were told earlier by Tom Munns to get to know our local officials would be a good idea, so they don't see us as an enemy. Anybody else? Okay, well, Russ is going to join us on Tuesdays. He'll be back next week, and it's going to be really, really good. He shared something yesterday, Psalm 91. Jared, let's pull that up there. My wife's upstairs listening to me because I can hear it, and she memorized this, Psalm 91. Russ mentioned this, I believe, twice yesterday. So I want this to be our scripture here this morning. Remember, all power, both in heaven and earth, is given unto me, the Lord says. All power. All power. All power is given unto me, unto him. He has authority and power over every wicked thing going on in the world. And people say, well, why does he allow bad things to happen then? Well, you can get in that argument with an atheist all you want to, because that's one of the reasons that they will say that, you know, as a guy told me, God's either not all good or he's not all powerful. Because if he was all powerful, he couldn't let all this stuff go on. It's because we don't understand. We don't understand dominion and lordship and our own powers and what we're able to do. And the natural consequences of life, accidents happen. Could God prevent every accident? Yeah, I suppose he could. What kind of world would that be like if he prevented it? Gave us free choice, yada, yada, yada. And so we're finding that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we learned that the word is one of those weapons. And my wife, I started to talk about her. She'd been memorized Psalm 91. I'm proud of her. I probably could too. I have most of it done. But she prays this a lot. She prays this almost every morning. And it would do us well to make ourselves more familiar with it. So let's read down through here. Psalm 91. I used to let Roger read. Remember those days when I used to let him read that sissy Bible? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Time out. Who's that? Who dwells in the secret place of the Most High? I do. Tim does. If you're born again, you ought to be dwelling in that secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I could preach right there on those two verses. we wouldn't get off the show. Just right there I could preach. Surely, that's a pretty profound word, isn't it? Surely. Surely. I mean, you can count on it. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. We ought to get a dictionary out and check out some of these words. Or get into Greek. That's what Tim says he does down there. Noisome pestilence. And from the noisome, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Hey, Rich. When you unsheath truth, you're protected. Do you see that? It's your shield and your buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. So there is terror by night, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Let's stop right there. Preach some more. Only with your eyes shall you behold and see the reward of the wicked. Isn't that something? We may not see it right now, but with our eyes, we are going to see the reward of the wicked. And that'll be something to watch. Hey, Roger, that'd be better than going to a Cavaliers championship game to watch the reward of the wicked, won't it? My goodness. See, we're telling the wicked all the time how much God loves them. Because you have made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. Because you are so interconnected with the Lord. Understand that. There shall be no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. Because He's going to give His angels charge over you. Why are there angels? Because there must be demons. He's going to give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. How about that? Hey, Tim, that'll make you run into the fight, won't it? Shall bear thee up in thy hands so that you don't dash your foot against a stone. You're going to tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion and the dragon. Shall you trample under your feet? Anybody feel like running? Because He has set His love upon you, therefore will I deliver Him. I will set Him on high because He hath known my name. Wow. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. And I'm going to be with him in trouble. And I'm going to deliver him. And I'm going to honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So there it is, man. I mean, there it is. What do you have to be afraid of? Huh? Well, we have natural fears. We have natural fears, but He's given us His word. The worst thing it can do to you is kill you. And then what? In the presence of the Lord. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Mighty. There shall be no evil befall you. Lord, I just thank you in the Dobbenmeyer house and the extended family. There shall be no evil befall us. No plague come near our dwelling. I thank you that you've given your angels charge over us to guide us in all of our ways. Thank you, Lord, that the pestilence awakened in darkness, or the destruction and waste of the noonday ain't going to come near me. That's what Russ was talking about yesterday. And that's what we have to incorporate and understand deep inside our inner man, that we are now crucified with Christ, and nevertheless we live, but not us. Christ lives within us, and the life we now live, we live by the grace of the Son of God who died and gave himself for us. You want to be scared, man. How would you like to face death alone? Face death not having a relationship with the Lord, huh? No, that'd be something to wet your pants over right there, buddy. That's for sure. Okay, that's our scripture for the day. Any response there? Learn that one. We ought to be able to all memorize that and declare that over our family daily. Hey, Michelle, thanks for declaring that in our house every day. Thank you for doing that. Because as Michael said, it's faith, or Larry said, faith toward God. This is expressing faith toward God. God, this is what I know you're going to do because you keep your word. You're a man of your word. You put your word above your name, because if your word is no good, your name is no good. We can take it to the bank. What we just wrote, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That'll get you going on. What morning is this? Wednesday morning, won't it? Sure will. Amen. Amen. Anybody want to dive in? Want to punch me? Nothing? Cool. All right. Well, I mentioned this before we went on the air. You don't hear much about it. And Jared, I was going to send you something. I didn't get up to it. What is going on in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, folks, is just absolutely unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I don't know if you've ever been to Gatlinburg or Pigeon Forge, nestled down there in the mountains. Beautiful place. And I saw last night 500 buildings have been damaged. Gatlinburg, Tennessee, Pigeon Forge are both resorts. People go there for vacations. And I was reading one post last night. Some guy said, Gatlinburg is gone. Gatlinburg is gone. And I don't want to scare you, but I'm going to show you a video. But I looked at one earlier this morning. They found the guys who set the fires. But This is something they're now teaching the jihadis, to set fires. Isn't that something? See, the Bible says that they are inventors of evil. Is that in Timothy? Is that in 1 Timothy? Inventors of evil. That just passes over us as we read the scripture sometime. Romans 1:30, Jared says. Okay, let's look there a minute. Boy, is he on top of it? Hang with me. Romans. I can never find Romans in my Bible. I always think it's up front there. It didn't. Pull it up there for me, Jared. There it is. Thanks. Verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, deceit, debate, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things. And that's what the enemy is doing, man. He is inventing evil things. It's everywhere we look. And so here's something that's crazy about the inventors of evil things as well. Is Coach, you say, you go place that. I can't believe you're gone. Well, I'm going to show you. Did you know that a lot of the Muslim influx into America is being sponsored by Christian organizations? Did you guys know that? Probably didn't. So I'm going to show you something here that's just going to curl your toes. Jared, let's pull up. Which one is it? Refugee churches, Jared. Refugee churches. I sent you that link. Guys, this is Catholic social taxpayer funded jihad. Understand? The OSU attacker, Abdul Razak Ali Artan, was an unvetted Somalian refugee that came in through Catholic charities. You say, well, Coach, what's the big deal about that? Well, I'm going to show you something. Follow the money. Hey, folks, there are some people who call themselves Christian that, as Flip would say, about as Christian as a poached egg. They're religious organizations, and we never ever figure out what their religion is. You with me? Let's scroll down here. I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I want you to see this. Taxpayer funded jihad. Go on down, Jared. Scroll down a little bit farther, brother. Let's go to, okay. Here you go. Stay right there, Jared. No, back up, buddy. I'm sorry. Limbeck, Senator Cruz, they both have. Okay, right there. The BCFS is Baptist. I had the Baptist Child and Family Services. Are you aware of this, fellas? That they've been granted over $200 million by the government to bring in refugees. Now, hang on a minute. Roger, why do they need $200 million to bring in refugees? Have they built big villages where they're all living in those villages? Are they feeding them lunches every day? Why is Catholic Services getting $201,069,016 for refugees? What's going on there, Raj?
Well, I think it's a way for the government to accomplish what they want to do in an atmosphere that seems good and helpful and beneficial. And then the Catholics or the Christians all say, well, we can then lead them to Jesus.
Yeah, and they don't even do that.
So they can let the Trojan horse in, and they're all going to lead them to Jesus.
And we put them on welfare, and their children go to school for free, and all this. Listen, if the Catholic Church, Baptist Child and Family Services, if they want to do that, God bless them, but they ought to be paying all their bills and taking care of them and discipling them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this guy that we're looking at, this dude here at Ohio State University, was brought in 2014, unvetted through Catholic Social Services that brought him in, unvetted, and we don't even know how many more of them there are. Now, let's not just pick on the cat over on the Baptist. Click on where it says see here, Jared. This will make us all happy too. We'll get it up there. What's that?
Starting my day off rough.
Man. Yeah, I am. Hey, pull us up here. They're not the only ones. Yes.
Coach, part of the problem is that the churches didn't take up what they should be doing in their own churches about helping the poor and helping those that are disadvantaged, whatever you want to call it. But we look to the government for everything. And so if the government's got the money, will the churches run to where the coffers are and they ask for their fair share to take care of something that the church themselves should have been doing a long time ago.
Should have been doing all along, Michael. We all agree with that. Look at this here, guys. Catholic Guardian Services, how much did they receive over here at the right? It says $2,181,000. Catholic Relief Services, $9 million. Catholic Medical Missions Board, $10 million. Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Albany, all of them down through there. All of them receiving MOOC. Now, wait a minute. Somebody told me that the Pope was a socialist. What do you think?
Can I tell you one more incident? Yeah. You know, Pence, when he, as governor of Indiana, he had trouble with one of the bishops that is in Indiana, a Catholic bishop, of course, whom I have known from a long time ago. And he is now going to become a cardinal because he fought so strongly for the refugees.
Is that right? They petered him up there, huh?
Yeah.
So, hey, I suppose you don't suppose these charities then donated to the Hillary campaign, do you? That probably would never happen. Hey, let's go back here. So those, yeah, a lot, you think? A lot of Catholics and Democrats. It's a social gospel, you understand? And why are they interested in the social gospel? Follow the money. Follow the money. See what's going on, guys? Let's go scroll down. I think there was one more thing I wanted to show you on that page, Jared. Glenn Beck, he's advocated for him too. Catholic Charities. It's just, you know, it's just money laundering. It's just more money laundering. What do you think the Catholic Church is doing with $200 million? What are they doing with these people are coming in and they get $200 million. What are they doing with it? What are they doing with that money? They're all getting welfare. They're getting college education. They're getting food stamps. And Catholic Services get $200 million to bring them in. And the Baptists are just as bad. Okay. Okay. I, Anything else to say? I'm going to move on to that because I'm going to connect the dot here for us. Okay. Jared, pull this one up here. Cause it's everybody wants to give to charity time. Jared, pull up that next one, the worst charities. I just thought I'd get this out there and get it off my chest. I know you want to talk about spiritual things, but I'm trying to show you how the enemy has infiltrated even into the church. These are called dregs of the future. I found this. The worst charities out there. Everybody wants to give money. So they're calling them pyramid schemes on this thing. So here they are, Jared. Let's scroll down there. 50 worst ones. Before you donate, I just want you to stop right there. We don't go any farther than this. The worst place to donate in the world is the American Red Cross. Go back up there, Jared, if you can. That little chart. American Red Cross. I've seen it firsthand when we go to disasters, the Red Cross. Don't give to the Red Cross. It says right there, the CEO makes $651,000 plus perks and everything. Don't give to the March of Dimes. The March of Dimes started out okay. It's not anymore. Don't give to the United Way. And unfortunately, some of you have your paychecks. They pilfer it right out of your paycheck because they want everybody to be part of the United Way. UNICEF. How about this one? I didn't even know this one. Goodwill is privately owned. Did you know that? Goodwill is owned by one guy. And he sets up all these Goodwill places all across America where people go and donate stuff to him. And then he sells all this donated stuff. And they get away with it because they say they employ the underprivileged, the handicapped, or whatever. This dude is making hand over foot. Okay, now you can feel good, and I'm going to be done with this. Give to the Salvation Army. They're okay, although I want to warn you this. The Salvation Army, even though we see them out there with the bells, they no longer share the gospel when they're out reaching the needs. They're not allowed to anymore. Why? Anybody know why? Sure. They get government money. The government money says you can help the poor, but you can't preach the gospel. So stay away from them. I mean, you can give to them, but the gospel isn't going to go forth. Hey, Michael, that's why I'm proud of what we do at Pass the Salt. We take the money, we give the food, we give the gospel. Nobody's got strings on us. The church doesn't do that. Everybody else, do you think those Catholic services are sharing the gospel with people? Do you think the Baptist Foundation, do you think they're sharing the gospel? Well, no, they can't because there are restrictions on it. Okay, you can get that off the screen. Can I tell you
one more thing about the Catholic? Yeah. I worked with Catholic Community Services with helping people that were in, home services, and what happened was they allowed the union to come in, the SEIU. Do you know anything about the SEIU union? I fought it while I was there, but had to join.
Yep, and they use all those great names, right? They come up with Children Relief Fund, Old People Relief Fund, and you don't know anything about it, and so people give to it. So just beware of that, okay? And then I'm going to show you one more thing, just so you know I'm an equal opportunity offender. Jared, click the one that says Republicans do it too. And I'm not going to take you long. Then we'll shift gears on you here.
Dave?
Yeah, Roger.
I want to take a second here on this topic. What we have heard for many years is, well, we're just called to give and we've got to trust God to where that money goes. I don't know if others have heard that, but it's the idea of, well, your responsibility is just to give.
Yeah.
And then trust kind of what God does with the money. That's what you hear.
Well, I think that there's some truth to that. But Raj, if you know it ain't good, then stop giving to it, right?
Well, why is the verse, don't cast your pearls before swine, even in the Bible if it doesn't apply?
Larry, I hate it when you do that. I hate it when you do that. So here we go. The Republican-led Congress oversees large-scale importation of Somali migrants. Who is the Republican-led Congress? I wonder if there's any money connected to that for them. I wonder if there's any political donations that end up coming back to them. Just guessing, just wondering. That when the money starts flowing, everybody wants to get their 2 cents worth, okay? Cool. Can I lay this to bed and let you see how they've got us surrounded with evil and what's the word I'm looking for? They have no integrity everywhere we look. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this. Catholics would say to me, I was raised Catholic. They would say to me that I can't go to heaven outside the church. That's what they would teach. The only way you can go to heaven is if you're part of the church. In fact, I have them all the time trying to tell me to come home. I would say to my Catholic friends, if you're not born again of the Spirit of God, I don't care what church you're part of. Your church and your religion ain't going to save you. And the fact that you're sitting in something trying to be loyal to a denomination. I had an idiot back when I was being sued by the ACLU. I cornered one of the main culprits, and he was a Methodist. And I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? And he said, pumped his chest up, why? I was born a Methodist. I said, well, hell, there's the problem, pal. Get born again. He didn't know what I was talking about. So these churches, these organizations, are you telling me? I'm telling you, there's some Baptists that ain't born again. Somebody give me a thumbs up. There's some that ain't born again. There's some Methodists that ain't born again. And there's a lot of Catholics that ain't born again. I'm here to tell you that Mary ain't going to save you. Sorry, she ain't going to save you. She can go pull on Jesus's, tug on his pants all she want to. There's only one mediator between man and Christ, and that's the man Christ Jesus. Between man and God, that's the man Christ. He's the only mediator, only one. And if you're in church and you're counting on your rosary beads and you're counting on anything, lighting candles, if you're counting on the saints, if you're counting on whatever, you're counting on those statues. I don't care what church, what denomination you're in. If you're counting on anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ for your salvation, you are not saved. Can't make it any more clear than that. And so good works isn't going to save you. And what's happened to Catholic social services is they think they're doing good works by bringing these third world people into America saying that they're going to get them saved. But see, they're not even going to get them saved. They're just bringing them into America to what? I don't know, to get $201 million. That's why they're bringing them in. I know this from my own experience. Discipleship's dirty, man. It's dirty. Rich, I know right now a couple guys that you're discipling and doing work in their lives. It's dirty work. We just got, yeah, I'm not bragging and I'm not going to tell you the whole story. Rich and I just worked to help some guy down in New Mexico. Is that where it is, Rich? New Mexico? Get some housing down there. We helped. It's dirty, stinking work, man. They're homeless for a reason. And so we're bringing in millions of these homeless people. Catholic social services getting them money and bringing them in. And no, oh, my goodness. Calm down, coach. Calm down. So we do a lot of good things in the name of religion that isn't good things and isn't religious. Or if it is religious, it's just religious. Okay. And Catholicism is, dare I say it, a works gospel. Your works will be filthy rags. You shall know them by their fruit. The Lord will see your works and honor your works. But your works are just going to be baggage if you don't get in the gate. It's going to be like getting on a plane and flying someplace and then can't get into the country. You can have all the baggage you want that won't help you. Go ahead, Roger. You're going to say something. Hang on. You've got to unmute.
I lost my train of thought. I'll come back.
That's because I'm yelling at you. I'm yelling at you. Oh, okay. So listen, I'm going to connect the dot here for you. Here's what these, you can get him off there. Here's what these, get that one up there, Jared, and get it to the 50-second mark for me. Here's what's going on. Hey, guys, listen, make sure that you connect everything I'm telling you today with everything Russ told you yesterday, okay? Islam is of the devil. Islam is not, we do not serve the same God. Whoever started that lie and whatever stinking pastor standing in your pulpit telling you that we're all God's children, I'm going to tell you something. That ain't true. That is not true. These guys are enemies of the cross. You understand that? They are enemies of the cross. And until we realize that we are wrestling against, dare I say it, wicked, evil spirits in high places, Islam is of the devil. Okay, sorry. We don't have the same dad. Muslims and Christians do not have the same father. You with me? You say, well, Muslims believe in Jesus. Well, yeah, like people believe in Santa Claus. Or they believe in Clark Gable. Or they believe in John Wayne. They believe he existed, but they don't believe he was the Son of God. Now, that's pretty big, isn't it, Rich? You say you can believe in somebody, but you don't believe he's God. That's pretty big. That's pretty big, isn't it? All right. So I'm going to show you a video here. I can't show you the first minute of this video because it's about cutting throats. Shows pictures of it. Not pictures. Yeah, shows pictures of it. Cutting a throat, slicing wrists, shows it. But see if you make a connection here to our friend here in Columbus, Ohio, who the Catholic Social Services brought in for us, okay? Now, this is a training film. You have to read it, okay, because this guy's speaking in some other language. And so there is script at the bottom of it. And I'm going to try to read it, not because you guys can't read, because there are many listening who can't follow along with us, okay? So here it is, this training video. Again, we're picking this up at about 50 seconds because they've been chopping off some heads and doing some different stuff. Make the connection to here in Columbus where a guy drove a car up, ran over a bunch of people, and jumped out with a machete and started slicing at people. Okay, go ahead, Jared. It says this message is directed. Hey, Jared, can we take the sound off maybe rather than listen to him? Trust me, he's saying this. Let's lower the sound and let's all just watch what's going on here. This message is delivered to the body. You can see today the result of the bombardment by the coalition. They're talking about training. So this guy's standing there, dressed in garb, which is led by American, Britain, and France. So he wants to kill Americans, Britain, and France. These strikes kill women, men, children, the old, and the sick without discrimination, he's telling us. I'm sorry, I'm quiet. Here we go. They close the door of Hijra on you. So open the door of Jihad on them. Some brothers have preceded you by conducting operations, he's telling us. Today, you are able to work because of them. Allah orders us to fight those kuffar nearest to us and to fight them as they fight us. A kuffar is a non-believer. We got a picture here. He's still talking to us. And there is no need to use firearms like a rifle. Rather, it's enough to use blade weapons. There are main points to prepare for operations. Firstly, choosing the appropriate knife. And he gets out a knife, says, gets out the right knife, shows us how to do it. The commando knife is not necessary as long as it's sturdy and somewhat long. He's showing us the knife. He'll show his buddy's going to get out another one. This is also what is called an electrical knife, which can be folded. Ooh, that'd be a good one too. You don't need a gun. This is not best for these operations. A strong kitchen knife might be easier to obtain. Guys are watching this stuff. You understand? These fools. We must take care that the knife is not too long or too small and that it is sharp. Now they're going to fake how to work the knife. They go over to a guy now, and they're going to show us. I missed what he just said. First, go for the throat. And he shows us how you cut a throat. This is by slicing or stabbing like this, and then slicing. He's showing us how to cut a guy's throat. Second is the chest, he says. It's often targeted, yet it's hard to reach. People try to stab the heart like this, he's showing us. Oh, don't do that. This is not a preferred place. What is preferred are soft areas, easy to find, to stab and cut. Talking about the belly. Okay, there you can pull that off there, Jared. So this is the stuff that these guys are watching. They're watching this stuff. And then it plays out right in front of us in Columbus, Ohio. And we say, no, that's not what that is. That's not what it is. Hey, this is a demon. You understand? This is demonic, guys. This is the same devil that we're fighting. Remember, inventors of evil things. I'll stop there for a moment. Anybody got something to add?
Coach, if you, there's a minister in Spokane here in Eastern Washington that talks about Chrislam, C-H-R-I-S-E, and then they put Islam with it. And I think even what's his name down there, Saddleback Church down in.
Rick Warren.
Yeah, that's the big thing that they're pushing. That's even the Pope saying that we worship the same God. Well, there you have it. What else are you going to do? You're misleading the sheep right there.
There you are. And as Kevin said, remember, Dizdar told us yesterday, the power comes from killing for the blood. Understand that? It comes from killing for the blood. Okay, it's funny that Kevin would tell me something else because I got a video for you. This is 7 minutes long. It's Muslim demographics. Kevin put over here on the side. Wow. Michael put in there, then they have babies and fill the land with more of them than there are us. Remember I told you it's battle for Western civilization? Watch this 7 minute video and see if this doesn't curl your toes. Go ahead, Kevin, or Jared. This is Muslim demographics. I'll read some as it comes up. It says the world is changing. We'll get this video to you. The global culture our children inherit will be vastly different than what it is today. You are about to witness a report on the world's changing demographic.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family. With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate. A rate of 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself. And there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren.
Pause that
as
a second.
Grandparents.
That's why Social Security is in trouble, right there. See how many are trying to pay for the retirees? We've abortion, we've killed our children. That's why we're in trouble. Keep going there, Jared. I'm sorry.
If only a million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026. As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8. England, 1.6. Greece, 1.3. Germany, 1.3. Italy, 1.2. Spain, 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse.
Europe is cooked.
In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining. Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. France, 1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, that number has grown to 45%. Wow. By 2027, 1 in 5 Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic. In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's one out of five Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated one-third of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away.
9 years away!
The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050. Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without contest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to 104 million. Closer to home, the numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, 1.2 of those immigration. In the United States, the current fertility rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million. The world is changing. It's time to wake up. 3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more. They said, "We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live." The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world. This is a call to action.
That video is 10 years old. 10 years old, that video is. Now you say, "Well, Coach, what does this have to do with Russ Dizdar and what we talked about yesterday?" Well, come on. Big boys out there, Rich. Everybody's a big boy. Here's what it has to do with it. What power would a Muslim have against the forces of darkness? We were talking yesterday about evil spirits in high places and how demonic possession and demonic oppression. What are the weapons of warfare that a Muslim holds in regards to spiritual forces? I'll tell you. None. See, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. But then at the name of Muhammad, every knee's not going to bow. At the name of Allah, not every knee's going to bow. So we are going to see an onslaught of demonic activity working through Islam. What do you think happened? What do you think that guy did at Ohio State University? Was that a normal person, a normal thing that somebody would do? Huh? pull up, drive a car up into a crowd of people and get out with a machete and think it. Well, devil does crazy things. So I'm not trying to scare you with that, but wish I could. Wish I could. And that's why the Dobbenmeyer family is happily doing all we can to repopulate. That's why I pulled my daughter, both of my daughters. We did things kind of different here. I'm not making fun of anybody. Praise the Lord. We kind of told our daughters we expected them to be married before they had babies. I know that's odd, old-fashioned, but that's kind of the way we expected it to work. And after both of our daughters have been married and working, I pulled them aside and said, listen. I said, listen, when are you going to start having children? And see, they bought into what the church was teaching. Oh, you can't have children. It's, you know, the environment can't handle them all, and don't have them till you can afford them and all that stuff. I said, listen, I don't care what it takes. I will help you start having babies. We need a fertility revolution in America. If we do not impose upon our children the idea, I guess you can't impose an idea. If we don't get them to start reproducing and having, dare I say it again, white Anglo-Saxon Christian children, we saw by the very numbers that we are in trouble. And I don't know if you know this, we're finding out that a lot of these refugees are coming over here and raping and impregnating white women. Because in the Muslim religion, the baby that is born is a Muslim. So, Roger, a big church of yours, are they telling everybody to have a bunch of babies?
No. No.
Nope, they're not. They're not. Are you working yet, Tim? Still not working. Let's get that thing fixed. So there it is, laying right out there before us. They're going to beat us without firing a shot. And there's a whole lot of other stuff that we could get into about how the family unit is being destroyed. We now have Coach Klain. I got to get Zach married off here and get him to start reproducing. Both of my daughters are already at two. Both want to have another, more and more and more. This is warfare. Elizabeth Johnston, God bless Elizabeth Johnston, she calls the womb a weapon of war. That's true. A weapon of war. We're in a mess financially because we killed all the little taxpayers. That's why Social Security is in trouble. There's nobody to pay into it. And so what are they doing? They're bringing in all the Muslims, and now they're on Social Security and there isn't any money. Matt, you want to say something?
Well, yeah, Dave. Roger mentioned that his church isn't talking about having babies. Obviously, they don't follow God's commandments. Weren't the believers the ones that were commanded to populate, go forth, and multiply?
Replenish the earth.
One of the basic concepts of our religion, our belief in Jesus Christ, is to do that. And the church can't even preach that one simple thing that everybody should get on board for.
We're too worldly, man.
We're too worldly.
Right.
Satan's got us by the, well, you know, he's got us. There's no doubt about it.
Psalm 127, Jared, pull that up there. I agree, man. And Matt, when I heard this being preached to me about 20 years ago, 19, 15, 17 years ago, I thought it was crazy. But now I look at me, Roger, I should have had 10 kids.
Me too.
Huh? Yeah. We're the ones that should be having the kids. We're the ones. And we've bought into the lie. But see, part of the lie that we're buying into is they are keeping us financially burdened by bringing all these refugees in. Taxes have to go up to pay for all of these. And then they come in and they reproduce. And the next thing you know, Columbus is going to be Columbus-tan. It almost is, by the way. Yeah.
Dave, you're probably going to get a call from my wife today because she's sleeping right now. But when she wakes up, we're both about 63 years old. But she don't know it yet, but we're going to be starting over again. you may get a complaint from her today. I don't know.
Yeah, it's enough to make me run out down the street and get some women pregnant. You know what I'm saying here? Yeah. Psalm 127. Yeah.
I think he said something about it. Really profound of the basic premise, some of the basic premises of our faith, this idea of go forth and multiply. I've never heard it preached. You hear, save the people, you know, but go forth and multiply. So simple.
Not add.
It's a command. It's a commandment. Why would the church teach a commandment? We are commanded to do that. Why would the church teach that?
Oh boy, Psalm 127. We're running out of time. This has been good, and I didn't know if it's going to be good this morning, because I thought, well, these guys, they want to hear more about demonology. But this is demons. See, this is not having children is a doctrine of demons. Do you understand that? Except the Psalm 127, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it, and except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sheep. Lo, and others, hey boys, children are an heritage of the Lord. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. They're not a burden, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. So are children of the youth, because happy is the man that has a full quiver. Why? They're not going to be ashamed. They shall speak and contend with the enemies in the gates. We ain't having any kids. We ain't having any kids. Come on, Dylan, get going. Come on, Roger. Say, Dylan, whatever it takes, man. Start pumping those things out. The womb is a weapon. The womb's a weapon. We quit at 3. Huh? That's what my church told me well to do. Having too many, can't afford them. It's, you know, we're going to screw up the environment. It's overpopulation, and people over in India can't eat. Well, hell, it was the people in America that were feeding the ones in India. We ought to have more of them.
Hey, don't forget Jared.
Come on, Jared. Jared's got to find a woman first. Hey, Jared, you can't make babies with men. Just kidding, Jared, just kidding. By the way, that is also why homosexuality is an abomination to God.
Hey, Coach.
The sexual act is to reproduce. It's a blessing when you get children. Go ahead, Kevin.
Exactly right. The whole feminist movement to effeminize the world, and especially our country, and increase the LGBT community, does exactly the opposite in terms of family unit and reproduction and going forth and multiply. If we can get the men confused about what their tools are used for, then guess what? We don't get to have babies.
That's right, brother. If we can just make it all about hedonism, right? Just sex for pleasure, and I'm not going to have a baby because then I can't have my truck, and then I can't go skiing every weekend, and I can't go watch the Buckeyes every time I want, and these kids are going to screw up my lifestyle. Well, then you're going to get what we get, and we're going to wake up in 40 years, and Muslims, Columbus is going to be Columbistan. Yeah, Mike?
Well, you got to remember, too, that the Muslim religion is based on the devil, and they worship the moon god. Yep. And the thing is that that the Quran and all that, they took the Bible and reversed everything. And it's a combination of the Bible and all of the teachings of that Christianity is taught, and they twisted it towards the devil worship of the Muslim religion. And the thing is that's they're doing exactly what the Bible says that you were just talking about. They are increasing and multiplying.
They are.
Just like it tells those who are followers of God, the true God, to do.
So the devil takes God's principles and applies them for evil. See? Oh, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. I can't tell you. My life, I just turned 64. The last 5 years of my life, 6 years, since I've had a grandchild and then another one and another one, my goodness, the joy in my life has increased. It's beyond measure. Yeah, headaches come with it. Yeah, it does. But the joy of it, man. And we're going to have another little one here in about 10 days. Little Mia is going to come popping up. And then when little Mia gets out of there, I say, hey, go make little Michael. And then when little Michael gets out of there, I say, hey, go make little Jonah. Keep making babies. Don't believe the lie that we can't afford them. The womb is a weapon. The womb's a weapon. And can you imagine if spirit-filled Christians stop having babies and reproducing Christ, what chance is it? Unless the Lord builds a house.
And the womb used to be the womb used to be the safest place on earth. And now look at it.
Yeah, that's right. It should be the safest place, and it isn't. And the economic consequences and the cultural consequences of opening up the womb to whatever. My. Bible tells us that we reap what we sow. Go make some babies, only do it with your wife. God bless you.